I just pray that you will bless this night. Lord, help us to have ears to hear you and open hearts to receive what you have to say. And Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together and allowing us to just worship you with our voices and just come together as a family and praise you. Lord, I just pray that you will give everyone a great rest of the week and help us to remember the importance of this week as we go through Good Friday and leading to Easter. Lord, we are just blessed. Thank you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Weird dreams we've all had through life. That's not necessarily what I want to talk about tonight. The dreams I want to talk about are the dreams that we have moving forward in life. Hope might be another word that you could use to describe this type of dream. On Sunday, if you guys were here, I talked a little bit about how Israel had hopes and dreams. That when they cried out, Hosanna, which means save us, they had a vision in mind with that. They had hopes and dreams. They dreamed that the Messiah would save them from the tyrannical rule that they had been under for generations. They had hoped that Jesus would be this great military political leader who would rise up and defeat the Romans and free them, and that they would be able to rule over the promised land once again. But as we know, that's not exactly what happened. I feel like it can be easy for us, or at least for me, I can be overly harsh on them. You know, when we think about it, you know, didn't they see that, like, when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about the Messiah, you know, when we look at, like, the Old Testament prophecies, you know, when we look at Isaiah, we see the suffering servant, which is very different than a great ruler, a great military ruler, and at least for me, it's like, come on, it's right there. Why didn't you see this? Why could you not see this for yourself? And didn't they even pay attention to what Jesus did while he was on earth? I mean, everything leading up to that point, when the crowds, like, tried to, you know, force him to be a great ruler, he walked away. Every time leading up to that, he wasn't fitting the mold. And so it's easy for me to be harsh on it and to say, like, come on, open your eyes. But the thing was is that they had hopes. They had dreams. And when you look at their history, when you think back about the people of Israel, man, what a kind of a sad history for most of them. During the time of David and Solomon, yeah, they were great and they were united. But shortly after that, they didn't even stay as one united people. They were split up into the kingdoms of Israel and of Judah. And they had good kings and they had really bad kings. And it kind of just ebbed and flowed on what they had. And eventually, the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, was taken over and exiled. And when they were exiled, I mean, the way that it was done, they were scattered all over the empire. And until the end of World War II, when Israel was remade, there was never a kingdom or a country that was called Israel again. Until then, we were talking thousands of years for them to be able to say, "This is our home, and this is Israel." That's a long time. And even Judah, you know, they did a little bit better. They stuck around a little bit longer. It's actually kind of interesting. If you talk about Jewish people, you talk about the descendants of the kingdom of Judah. That's why they're called Jews. They're not called Jews until after it's just the kingdom of Judah that's remained. And even though when they were taken into exile, they just all went to Babylon and then eventually were allowed to come home. But they never came home and ruled by themselves again. They never actually had control. Because after the Babylonians, it was the Syrians. After the Syrians, it was the Greeks. After the Greeks kind of, like, switched hands with the Greeks a couple different times, the Romans came in. And that's where we get the story of their rule, that they still don't have, you know, they still didn't have control. For generations, they had heard of the coming Messiah, the one who would set them free. And they wanted to be set free politically, geographically. But when you think about it, can you really blame them for it? When you think back to their time in Egypt, they were slaves. They asked to be freed. And they were freed in a very political sense. They were freed from their slavery. And they went and were given a land that was theirs. That they could rule. They were able to rule themselves. And you know, you might think that, you know, it's kind of, okay, but that happened so long before the time of Jesus. But it was something that they never forgot. Every year, they celebrated the Passover. They celebrated the fact that they were saved from slavery. Every year, they had a tangible reminder that they had been set free before. So, I mean, can we really blame them for having this hope? For having these dreams that, that the Messiah would come in and would free them from the Roman rule? My harsh judgment when I think about all that kind of has to be swept away. I can understand that. You know, sometimes in our own lives, we can kind of be like that. We have our hopes turn, our hopes and our dreams kind of shift a little bit. And they kind of turn into expectations. Now, an expectation and a dream are two different things. When you expect something, you typically have it lined out how it's going to be. You know, it's like with a job, I expect to get a paycheck. I work this many hours, I get paid this much, so I'm going to get this much. You know, or fill in the blank. There's all sorts of things that when you expect, you kind of have this vision of exactly what you're going to get in the end. And a lot of times we do that with God. We have expectations that we have for Him. We want Him to show up exactly like this or exactly like that. I know that that's been true in my own life, and it's been an interesting journey to have that be changed. When I initially got my call into youth ministry, I was in high school, just finished up my freshman year. And from that point on, I began to set forth this vision for myself on how I was gonna, you know, get to this point where I was a youth pastor. And one of the things with it was that I was really big into sports in elementary school and junior high and into high school, and my sophomore year of high school, football was my big sport. Loved football. I still love to watch it. Still love the sport. And my sophomore year, I made varsity, and which was kind of, I mean, I went to Nampa High, and we were awful that year. I think we won one game, but it didn't matter to me because I was a sophomore, and I was on varsity, and there were only like two other sophomores on the entire team, and so I was stoked about it. And the other thing that was kind of with it, my best friend, he went to Skyview. If you guys know about the Nampa rivalries, Columbia did not exist at this point, so it was Nampa and Skyview. We were bitter rivals. He played for Skyview, and he was really good too. He made varsity as a sophomore as well. And so our goal, our dream, was we were going to go and we were going to play college football together. And so we started to lay down these plans. And the plan was is that we were going to go and we were just going to dominate people on the football field for the next 2 years after our sophomore year. And then we were going to get scholarships to go play football someplace. And we were going to pick a school together. And it was going to be a Christian school because obviously I was going to be, you know, I'm going to be a youth pastor. That's part of the plan. And we're going to pick a Christian school and I'm going to go and I'm going to get my ministry degree and he's going to get whatever degree he wants. But we're going to go and this is my path. This is what is laid before me. And for, gosh, my whole sophomore year, we started dreaming of it. At the end of my sophomore year, I screwed my back up in a weightlifting accident. Bulged the disc out, and that, I could go in a lot more detail with that, but I didn't really play football ever again. My senior year, I was a kicker, but I wasn't a very good kicker. I did kickoffs. And I didn't do like the normal kickoff where you kick it, you know, really high and really deep. I did a squib kick because that's what worked for me, which is where you just kind of make the ball try to bounce around like crazy because I couldn't kick it deep enough for coverage to get down there. So we just had to make them chase the ball. So needless to say, my hope and dream of playing college football was done. It was over. And that was really hard. I had this expectation that I had set up in my mind that this is how God was going to lead me to being a youth pastor, and it was really hard for a really long time, and it got to the point where I had two options. I could either be really bitter about the fact that things weren't how I thought they were going to be, or I could embrace the path that was then laid before me. Now, I wish I could say that, you know, there was this moment where I had this, like, epiphany, and it was like, oh, everything's going to be okay. And just, you know, move on with life, that everything was going to be okay. Probably up until about a year and a half ago, I still had those moments where it was, this would be so different if things just would have gone how they were supposed to go. But I also know that I wouldn't change my path for the world. I know that, and it's not because it was an easy path. There have been a lot of hard things that have happened with that. It's been a rough road. But I know that through all the things that I went through, that it's made me who I am. It's helped to draw me closer to God. And it has been so much more than what I could have ever dreamed of myself. And I thank God for it. It used to be that when I've never gotten surgery on my back. I still kind of have a little bit of bad back. So maybe don't ever come up and just randomly jump on my back, especially if you're my size, because that probably wouldn't be good. That would not be good. But when it used to be that when I felt a twinge in my back, that I would be like, oh, you got to be kidding me, God. But now it still hurts. That hasn't changed. But I can think about that. And I can think about the path that it led me down. I wouldn't have gone to NNU, which is where I know I was supposed to be. I wouldn't have been able to learn under Mike Kipp, who I know I needed to learn under. I probably wouldn't have gone to seminary. If I wouldn't have gone to seminary, I wouldn't have met Juliana. And if I hadn't gone there, I wouldn't be here. I can almost guarantee I probably wouldn't be standing before you right now. And it's been a hard journey, but it's been one that has been so beautiful. And it's because I've been able to embrace the path that was put before me. Unfortunately, the people of Jerusalem, for the most part, weren't able to embrace the path that was before them. People that yelled, Hosanna, save us on Sunday, by Friday had turned, and in their bitterment and disappointment, tried crucifying him. Very different frames of mind. But I feel like sometimes we do something kind of similar with that. We set forth these dreams and these expectations, and then they aren't met exactly like we think that they should be. And then we let bitterness start to take over in our hearts. Now, I can assure you that even though I was bitter, I always knew I was going to be a youth pastor. But what if I had held on to that bitterness? It'd be a very different story. But when we allow God, He takes those hopes and those dreams, when we hand them over, sometimes by choice, sometimes by circumstance, but when we hand them over to God and say, Your will be done, He takes them and transforms them into something that is so beautiful. I don't think it's by accident at all that one of the last things that Jesus did was celebrate the Passover. Celebrated freedom for the people of Israel. But with that, He took that hope and that dream for them. And for them, the Passover was, you know, this reminder of this physical freedom that they had been given. But in that meal, He took it, and He gave us an even better dream. Freedom that this world can't touch. Freedom that it doesn't matter who's over you. It doesn't matter what your situation is. Freedom that comes from the inside. True freedom that comes from Christ. And He gave us something to be able to remember that by as well. We celebrate it. Sometimes not as often as we should, but we celebrate it in communion. And so when Jesus, you know, he took bread and He broke it, He actually wasn't doing anything that was new to them. With the cup that He picked up was a cup of the covenant. But He changed it. And He gave us a hope that I don't think that the people of Israel could have ever dreamed of. Because it was something that was so much bigger than them. And it's something that this available to us today. So we're gonna take communion here in just a minute. The bread is gluten free. For those of you guys who are gluten intolerant, but as we take the bread, rip it off, dip it in the cup, and eat it, I hope that it's a reminder to us, of course, of the freedom that it offers, the freedom that Christ offers. You know, we're told to take and do it in remembrance of Christ, of what He did. But I hope that tonight it also reminds us that when we lay down our dreams, that when we accept the path that Christ lays before us, that it's so much sweeter than what we could have ever imagined. On the night that He was betrayed, took the bread, He broke it. This is My body, broken for you. Take, eat it. Whenever you do so, remember it to me. The same way He took the cup. Says, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink of it. Whenever you do so remember it. You guys can come up with, you know, whatever you want and take a piece and dip it in the cup. But I hope that while we're doing this, that, you know, maybe there's something in your life that maybe is standing in the way. Maybe you have a hope or an expectation of God. I hope that tonight we can be able to lay those down and accept the amazing gift that He has for us. One that's far deeper, far better than what we have for ourselves. So come and take them to you. God, I just thank You so much for the amazing gifts that You give us. For the gift of salvation. For the gift of Your Son. God, tonight we remember those things. God, tonight we also thank You that You are the one who dreams so big that we cannot even imagine. Thank You so much that You are the one who desires us to dream bigger than we thought we could. God, I pray that You would help us be able to lay down our tiny dreams, and we may receive dreams that are so much bigger than us. Thank You so much for Your presence in this place. May we be mindful of Your presence as we live. In the name of my prayer. Amen.